thing of the mask.
I was gonna say that same thing.
Were you seriously?
Yeah, I was like,
well, I mean, what other lines are there from this movie?
Something of the mask. Took John Lee. Do you think everyone's like, I don't know who John Lee is?
Yeah, they're like, who? They're like, oh, well, we didn't like that fucking guy anyways. He was the town drunk.
Shut the doors. Shut the doors. My God.
The reactions in this movie are just terrifying. Some backstory here to The Mist, of course, which we are talking about.
Yes.
A fabulous, one of the few, this may be controversial, one of the few fabulous Stephen King movies out there. I will say, like, The Green Mile, Shawshank Redemption, The Shining, what else? I mean, we watched it.
Carrie.
I haven't seen Christine. How's she doing these days?
She's pretty good.
She's good. She's not the one covered in pig's blood. That's Carrie.
No, she's a car.
Okay. Well, great. She's still driving.
Cujo.
Not seen Cujo.
Thinner.
Thinner's pretty interesting.
I like Thinner.
Yeah. Maybe it's just the ones that are like made for TV movies that are not great.
Yeah. And those are the ones that he likes the best.
Really? Because they're truer to his books.
Because they're long.
But he actually really liked this movie.
Yeah.
Because it actually made him terrified.
Yeah.
He felt fear watching this. And I think that this film is terrifying. So I saw this on Thanksgiving. Had a nice turkey dinner. A little bit of broccoli and rice.
Oh, you
some
had
cheese.
Eaten already before you went to
Yeah,
this?
I went and saw this with a couple of friends from high school. Because this was about a year after I graduated. So people were back from school and everything, and we went and saw this movie. And the end of the movie, I just was like, I remember we were all standing in the parking lot somber and feeling a little down. And then we were like, all right, well, have a good night. Then we all shot each other.
Yeah,
and there wasn't one bullet left for me to kill myself. We wanted to be true to story.
I remember seeing the commercials for this and going, wow, that looks pretty bad. That CG.
Really?
That CG looks awful. And then we were in a class with our classmate Josh.
Yeah.
I go, is that Mist movie any good? He goes, I would say that's like top five horror movies I've ever seen.
It's great.
And he was like, I'm just going to tell you the ending.
He told me it. That sounds like something Josh
would
do.
He was like, there's this part where they run out of gas. There's five people in the car and he's only got four bullets. And so he fucking shoots them all and he kills his kid. And then we find out that everything's okay.
Yeah, and you know what Frank Darabont wanted to do is he wanted, when that truck came by with Melissa, I almost said Melissa McCarthy. That's Melissa McCarthy has a cameo in this, by the way, for those that missed. But when the girl from the grocery store.
Melissa McBride. Martina McBride.
Martina. Great singer. Terrible show. Oh, wait, that's Reba McEntire. This is going in so many different directions. But he wanted everyone in the grocery store to be on another truck behind her. So like the followers of...
Oh, like everybody that they left behind?
Yeah, so everyone that was following like Marsha Gay Harden, he wanted them all to be on a truck. So it was like, you should have never left.
Mm.
And I'm like, that would have been just the icing on the cake, wouldn't it?
What about the neighbor, Brent?
What does happen to him?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that this time because I have this, and I've never checked on this, but I have this kind of distinct memory where I think in one of the trailers, they show him getting killed, like getting pulled away from the glass of the door after he like runs back.
Really?
Yeah.
We should look into that.
But I don't know if it's that guy.
Oh, the soldier?
Yeah, I don't know.
You're just confusing two black people, basically.
Well, that guy is white in that shot, so.
Oh, I'm pretty sure. That's really interesting.
But I think they might have shot something with him dying.
Okay, we'll have to look for that because I wondered what happened to him because he's an asshole.
Yeah.
He's not as crazy of an asshole as the church lady, but.
Right.
His tree basically like destroyed his dock, David's dock. And I was just like, what an asshole. And then he's like, I will sue you again. It's like, just because you're a lawyer doesn't mean you can fucking sue everybody.
Is he a lawyer?
Maybe you can. Yeah, he is. He's a lawyer.
Okay. We've seen him play a lawyer in Law and Order SVU.
Oh,
because
he is a bastard lawyer in that show.
He's awesome in that show.
He is, but he's
withdrawn.
And he's yeah, because he'll say something and he's got like this thing where his mouth is always open and he's like and he just looks and he goes, so you are saying that she wanted to have sex with you and she asked for it. Withdrawn.
Objection, Your Honor. Ventron.
Ventron. Mouth open. You can't see it, but my mouth's open and my lips quivering a little bit. But they shot this movie in 37 days.
Oh, really? It seems like half that.
Yeah. You know how long it's taken me to do a work project? Like 6 months. The budget is like nothing. Well, I mean, that's maybe why the budget is nothing. But I mean, it's just crazy to think that 37 days to put something like this together. And a lot of the cast and crew that he used was from a television series. So they were used to working under tight deadlines. And yeah. I think that that's the main reason why they were able to get through production so quickly. But he was originally going to do this with another studio for $30 million. And then they said, you need to change the ending. You can't kill a kid and an old man and an old woman. And he said, well, I am making it with this ending. Yeah. And so he took it to another studio and did it for half the budget and pretty much gave up almost his entire director's salary.
Yeah. Well, I read he gave it all up. I read that he had this ending planned for 20 years or something.
Yeah. He read the book and I've never read a Stephen King book. I have no idea how this is supposed to end, but it doesn't really end this way. It is.
Yeah, it's like 100 pages.
So he basically made the ending that he wanted. And then Stephen King was like, I wish I would have made this the ending.
Yeah.
It's a really bold, brave move to take a story that's already been written by one of the top five novelists of all time. And to say, I think I'm just going to change this ending. But he built that trust working on The Green Mile and Shawshank, which are both amazing films.
Yeah, I think next to Mick Garris, I think Frank Darabont is Stephen King's favorite director of his stuff.
Mick Garris, I don't know who that is.
What Mick Garris does all the TV movies.
Oh, does he? Oh, yeah. God. Well. So it's interesting that we're doing this because the Mist television series is starting up this year.
Yeah, it's starting up later this month.
And what are they going to do with that?
Probably explain a lot of shit. Hopefully they show more...
like dimensional, like portal type of stuff.
Because my favorite part about this whole movie is the stuff that they don't show.
Yeah.
It's the idea that they tried to make a window to this other dimension that turned into a door. So that means that...
which is crazy architecture. I know.
So that means that everything that came in here was the result of that experiment gone wrong.
Yeah.
But then somewhere out there, there are some people that conducted that experiment that got put into that dimension too. So
do you think? Do they say that?
I think they say it reverses them. It's like a portal. So you just imagine, like, what does that dimension or that planet look like, you know? Because these aren't aliens, right? They're something else.
They're from whatever, I don't know. Like, I don't want to be on that fucking planet. It seems like I don't understand what's going on. It's like probably when dinosaurs roamed the earth here.
Yeah.
If you're the church lady, they were not dinosaurs. They were monstrosities. But I don't know what they're going to do with the show because it's like The Walking Dead was a comic book series. So they had a point of reference, right? They had like these comics that had basically carved out the story. They veered away from that several times. But with this, it's already a short book or story. And then they have this movie, which leaves a lot to be questioned.
Yeah.
But it all takes place in a supermarket, so we don't really know what's going on anywhere else. Is this happening in other parts of the world? Like, what's going on? And he wanted this to take place in Maine.
I think every Stephen King story takes place in Maine.
I think so, too. I really like directors like Frank Darabont who like to, with the exception of Tim Burton and Helena Bonham Carter, but who have almost like a loyalty and a relationship that they build with actors, so they like to...
yeah.
Keep that going through other films and projects because you can tell that they're comfortable working together because these people give phenomenal performances. Yeah. I mean, if you think of Laurie Holden, Jeffrey DeMunn, who else is in The Mist? Melissa McBride. I mean, there's several people. And then, you know, Brian Libby, who's just like that biker guy who dies right at the end when they're all leaving. He was in Shawshank and I think The Green Mile. He was in those too. So, I mean, just like these people that play minor characters and people just want to work with him. You know, you have to wonder what it's like to be on set and work with Frank Darabont. Yeah,
there's a lot of footage on the DVD of him directing this.
Yeah, is there? I've never watched it.
Frank Darabont seems like a really cool guy. He's always wearing a Hawaiian shirt. And like, he wrote Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors. He wrote The Blob.
Oh, man, Dream Warriors is one of the good ones.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's just...
Dream Warriors.
And you know, and he got totally fucked by AMC with The Walking Dead because he created that show with Robert Kirkman, and then they kicked him out and just did their own thing with
it. Is it because they couldn't afford him, or what happened there exactly? Because I was confused by
that. As far as I know, he wanted season two to be a lot bigger than it ended up being. He didn't want them to be stuck at that farm for so long like they were in the show.
Oh my gosh, it went on forever.
And then they increased the episode count with season two, so thusly the budget for each episode got smaller than it was in the first season.
Yeah.
And the smaller the budget, the bigger the cast, doesn't leave a lot of room for creative control for something like that.
That's true.
But he pretty much, almost every main speaking role in this movie, in The Mist, they had a part in The Walking Dead at some point.
Yeah.
And that was something I knew like right away when they were developing The Walking Dead. I was like, oh, this is great. He's got all these people from The Mist in there.
You know, it's interesting. He hasn't really directed that many things. I think he's maybe done like 10 projects.
Yeah.
And three of them have been Stephen King. Of course, there's The Walking Dead. One that I was surprised that he directed. I don't know if you saw this movie, The Majestic.
No, I've never seen it, but that kind of like ruined his career for a while.
That was odd. It was like a Jim Carrey serious movie. Maybe it was after The Truman Show.
I think it was. I only remember the commercial on TV when the girl goes, "Don't you remember me?" And Jim Carrey like looking all serious and stuff. He's like, "No. But I'll sure try."
Yeah. That was perfect. Thank you. You deserve a Razzie for that performance, because that was a terrible movie.
And so when you look up Frank Darabont, you're like, oh yeah, Shawshank Redemption, Green Mile, these are like expert movies. And then The Majestic, you're like, I heard that movie was pretty bad.
Yeah. And then The Shield, which is the production crew that he brought over to The Mist and everything. So again, it's just like these loyalty of the actors that he works with, and it's really interesting. But
and doing the TV crew thing, that's the same thing that Hitchcock did when he made Psycho. They had to make Psycho with a really low budget compared to what he usually worked with. So he took his crew from Alfred Hitchcock Presents, that anthology show.
Oh yeah.
And they filmed it for like half the budget, black and white. And this movie's black and white too.
Well, you can choose.
Yeah.
He wanted it released in black and white. I think you and I have opposing viewpoints when it comes to this. I like the color version better when it comes to showing the creatures and the blood and things like that, because otherwise it just looks like chocolate syrup to me, which it very well could be anyways. But that's kind of my preference. But I loved when there was one night where you and I just put this on. I think it was at your parents' house when we were living there for a little bit, and the Blu-ray just came out. But we put it on in the basement on a giant TV, turned all the lights off, and watched the black and white version. Yeah. And I remember being like, this is way better than the color version. But we had it going in two different rooms while we were watching it. And you were watching the black and white version in one room, and we literally had it timed to the exact same point. I mean, almost the exact same point. Yeah. It started to go off a little bit because
I paused
like
it for a second.
Oh, you did? Because like I was laughing at the end, and you probably thought I was laughing because he like killed his family. I was laughing because I was in the bedroom and he was like, and then he would stop screaming, and then it was like a second or two behind in the other room, and then I'd hear and he does it like four or five times, so it was just it just like multiplied. That was just the number of times he was screaming,
and that song at the end, it would be like, and
then you'd hear, it was so funny. I didn't know you paused it, because there was a point where it really was like they were saying the lines at the exact same time. It was incredible. But yeah, I don't know what it is. I guess if I'm like have all the lights off and I'm in the mode, I'm gonna sit down and watch a scary movie, then I'm gonna like the black and white version. If I'm running around and packing for a trip like I was doing, then I'm probably gonna want something with color so that I'm like not missing things while I'm moving around.
That's fair.
I don't know if that's just me.
Well, here's my take on it. And this is kind of what Frank Darabont says also. I don't think the acting in this movie and the dialogue is particularly good. It's kind of word for word from the story. And Stephen King's, you know, he's got kind of his shtick, and everybody kind of talks like they're in the 50s. We talked about this in the It episode.
Yeah.
And I think the kind of the, what do you call it? The, what the fuck was that guy's name?
Who?
The,
tell me
what
he
had that old TV show.
Andy Griffith?
Andy Griffith. So
It just took you whistling the song for me to guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's a well-known guy.
Yeah, he is.
But I'm the way sure everyone talks to each other kind of feels like an Andy Griffith thing where everyone's like,
well, it's just knows Ollie. Their name.
Well, kind of, but everybody's like, oh, what are you doing there, Mr. Zippy or whatever his name is?
Mr. Zippy?
And I don't know, when it's in color, it just seems a little out of place.
Yeah.
And it seems kind of like corny because this movie's like kind of a B movie.
Yeah.
But when you watch it in black and white, it kind of just like all fits together and it doesn't seem out of place.
Interesting.
And there are some shots of the creatures that are CGI, but in black and white, they look almost stop motion. There's particularly one shot when one of those pterodactyl things, it's a shot that's like looking up at it. And the way it's animated, the frames are a little jerky.
Yeah.
And in black and white, it looks like a stop animation thing, which in color, it just looks like bad CGI.
See, but when I would come out and I would look, I'd kind of go between and I would look at some of those moments that had the creatures and the spider things and the pterodactyls or whatever. And maybe we just don't have a great copy of it or something.
Yeah,
maybe it's like poor quality.
Bad.
Yeah, but to me, it looked worse than it did in the color. I mean, I'm not saying it looked good in color either. I thought it didn't look. I think a Blu-ray of this movie would be better than what we have on Plex.
Blu-ray has has the two discs also that are in black and white.
And probably some really cool special features. But when you're talking too about the characters and the plot and everything, there's just some weird forced character relationships. Like the fact that David even took his neighbor who sued him last year and whose tree just like crashed his boat dock basically to the supermarket. It was to show he was like a good person. That was like to help build his character, right? Because a tree had fallen on the other guy's car. But then he was just like a fucking asshole to him and he goes, I'll sue you again. And I'm like, see, this is what you get. What are you thinking? Why are you helping him? What are you doing? Like, it was just so bizarre. And I always feel like does Stephen King have children?
Yeah. His son is a pretty famous writer right now.
Oh,
named Joe Hill.
I have no idea. Jonah?
No, Joe. Oh,
dang it. I was like, it's interesting. I don't think he's a writer.
And I don't think that's his real name, Joe Hill. But I wonder But I wonder if his first name really is Joe, because he'd be Joe King. So I wonder if...
Sorry, having a moment. That is funny.
Do you think he's like, well, fuck, I can't do anything now with this name?
Should change his last name, not his first name. He's Joe.
Larry
King,
name.
Arthur King.
Well, he did change his last name. It's Joe Hill.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I don't know what I'm talking about. But
Joe King.
Joe King. Brilliant. I love it. What does he write
like,
about? What are his books about?
He writes a comic book called Lock and Key that's supposed to be really good.
Is it about like people that have telepathy and things like that?
I'm not too sure. Maybe. Probably.
Same thing.
He wrote a book called Horns that they made into a movie with Daniel Radcliffe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And is it out?
He's got horns in his head. I think so.
Well, that would make sense.
And then he wrote a book that I hear is really good called Nosferatu, but it's...
Nosferatu? That's... Wow. What a concept.
But it's written like a license plate, because I think it's about some people who are following some guy who has a license plate that says Nosferatu, but it's like NOS number 4 AT.
Oh, okay. It's not about a vampire.
Well, I think he is a vampire and that's his license plate.
Oh.
But I don't
genius.
Know. It's like a 500 page book, so I didn't
I may
read
get
it.
One of those license plates. I've always I saw like a one of those novelty plates today and it was like MD for moms. And I was like trying to figure out what that meant. And then I was like, oh, she's a doctor for moms.
Yeah, or
so
Maryland.
She's like a gynecologist or like she couldn't put gyno on her license plate. No. So,
or she's from Maryland. Maryland for moms.
Maryland. Oh, draw awareness to Maryland for moms.
That's right.
They're not very caring about mothers there.
Hell no.
Hell no. Kill the children. Sacrifice the son. Give them the boy. Give them the whore. Why does she draw the conclusion that she is a whore?
Yeah, I noticed that too. I was like, she's married.
I know. And she, so like they first meet in the bathroom which yeah. sounds really sexy, but it's not that way. But basically, Marcia Gay Harden is praying in one of the stalls to God, and it's like, use me as your vessel. Let me show them, being all fucking crazy. And then Lori Holden walks in, and then she's like, it's okay to be scared. I'm here if you need a friend. And she's also new to the town. She's like the new special ed teacher, I think is what she was introduced as by one of the other characters. But then she goes, if I needed a friend like you, I would go sit on the ground and shit one out. And I was like, whoa.
That's a shitty thing to say to someone.
Yeah, literally a shitty thing to say. But I was just like, God, I was like, what is her problem with her? She had more attractive than you. And so you're like, she's a whore. That means she sleeps with people and her husband and animals and feed her to the beast.
Do you think this movie is pro-Christian or pro-Bible?
No.
Why do you not think that?
Because they make them look crazy. They make all those people, those followers, look like just sheep, like lemmings that would just...
But there's that key scene where that fly doesn't bite her, and it lands on her and flies off and looks at her. And that's the only time they show any restraint on anybody in the movie is her.
So it's interesting that you say that, because the line that she says is a line that's used in other Stephen King movies, where people are basically saying to whatever evil demon or evil source that there is, I think they say like, my life for you or something like that. Mm-hmm. That's like a recurring theme in his books. And I think in a couple of movies, they say it as well. But when they say that, it's basically saying to like the evil demon, he names his evil demon something. I can't remember what it is, but whatever it is in The Shining or anything else has this name. And so it's like saying, I give myself to you, the like evil demon kind of thing. So knowing that, I think that it means almost like, I'll do whatever the hell you want. Just save my life, and all that's all I care about.
So that's not a Bible quote?
No, it's not. Yeah. Oh, okay. It's,
well, I guess it doesn't matter then what I was saying.
No, but it's interesting that you say that though, because you could view this a couple ways, because that's what I thought when I first saw it. And then I learned, you know, a little bit more about some of the characters that he has, like his staple characters or like themes throughout his books and things like that, like how everything's in Maine. And but yeah, that's something that characters commonly say, and it's just like a way of saying that, like, I give myself to you. So I almost think it makes her like Kali Ma.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, like she just gave herself right over to that evil thing. And I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. I think that it's like kind of puts huge Bible thumpers in a very negative light, because and there are different types of people within religion. There are people that like follow the Bible word for word. There are people that are, we have a vengeful, hateful God and you're all sinners. And I don't know. She was like a whole other level, because she was talking about how he was almost like living in a volcano or something, and like gonna rain down upon them like lava and kill them all. I mean, she didn't say that, but something to that effect.
Obviously, this movie doesn't paint religious people in a great light.
No.
But
or followers.
That being said, all the people who take a scientific, realistic approach to this die immediately. And,
it's true.
And the religious people are, other than her, we don't even know if they die or not, you know, all their fates are left open.
That's true. But I mean, they are killed in most part by the religious people because they're sacrificed.
Yeah.
Unless they're like, I'm just going out, you know, or whatever. But Melissa McBride is alive in the end. She's the first person to leave that grocery store.
And she's an asshole in this, don't you think?
Do you think?
I think so, because she's like mad at everyone for not helping her home. And it's like, this is kind of your problem, lady. Because, and she says, she's like, won't someone see a lady home? You.
Yeah, and he's like, I've got my own kid to worry about,
lady. And then she's like, you all rotten hell. And I'm like, fuck you, asshole. Like, we're trying to protect each other here.
So, I mean,
it's kind of your fault for leaving your 8-year-old daughter to watch your 2-year-old kid.
Yeah, that was a bad decision. So I agree with that. But I didn't think that she was like an asshole. I just thought she was thinking she was going to the store for like a pack of cigarettes or whatever, since she's a shitty parent, was doing. And
yeah, but how is that anyone else's fault but hers?
I don't know. But I mean, like, you have to think of how fucking terrified and how you were like, oh my God, I never in a million years years would have thought that this happened. And so I just left real quick. Yeah. And I've done this a million times, which is also terrifying. But she goes, sometimes she forgets that he's watching. Yeah. She's supposed to be watching him. And I'm like, well, then maybe bring the car seat and put them in the car. But then she's alive at the end and has her kids.
If I was in that situation and people said, I can't help you, I'd be like, okay, I understand. I wouldn't be like, well, I hope you all rot in hell.
Yeah.
Like, fuck you all.
But I'd be so terrified that I don't know. Because I wouldn't know what's out there. I think that she could have gone a different direction.
I guess. I don't know. Something just really irks me when people are just ungrateful like that.
Yeah.
When it's like, nobody here owes you any of that. So yeah. I don't know if that's in the book or what.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
But ever since, you know, The Walking Dead started, I still can't get that scene of her out of my head. And I've just never been able to sympathize with her in any movie because of that part in The Mist.
Yeah.
She tells everyone to rot in hell because they won't hold her hand on the way home.
Hold her hand? I don't know. She was like, will you hold my hand?
Well, she's like, won't someone see a lady home?
Well, again, you go back to like they're in this Andy Griffith kind of thing.
Yeah, that's with, another like, line that works a lot better in black and white.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. If you were in the scenario, what character would you have been? Like if you were in this grocery store, who do you think you would have been the most like?
I'd probably be that guy who lights the mop on fire and then spills the bucket and falls and burns himself immediately.
Great. I'd probably be like that lady who takes all the pills and they have to throw her on top of the dog food in the back.
Not Jamie Lee Curtis.
I kept thinking it was Melissa McBride because she had the short hair. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
you should only have one short haired girl in a movie.
Yeah, it's confusing. It is. So basically, we wouldn't take on any strong leadership.
No, I'd be the guy who slips and burns himself.
Yeah. Well, they would have thrown you out there anyways because you're in the military and you open the portal.
That's one of my favorite parts about this movie is how everybody kind of stumbles. There's that part where she like steps on one of those bugs and they do a close up of it and she slips when she steps on it. And I was like, that's so cool. Like all these people are kind of not good at any of this because they're all just freaking out. Because that would totally happen if someone was trying to light a mop on fire. They would totally, they would totally like knock it over and fuck everything up.
Yeah. Like if you just have like a bucket full of like lighter fluid, I mean, what do you think is going to happen?
But you just never see that in a movie.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's really interesting to me. So this movie's 10 years old. And so 10 years later, they're doing the series. I'm really curious to see what's going to happen. But I wonder if they're going to bring back any of these characters. Wouldn't it be cool, though, if what they did is like David came back, basically like Thomas Jane, the actor came back, and he's like, yeah, this happened 10 years ago. I killed my son and some people in a truck. And I recommend not doing that this time around. Like, he has to be a pariah in the town now. Like, now that they're fixing this, he's like the guy that's known as leaving the store, being involved in the murder of this, like, crazy religious woman, and killing his son.
Yeah.
And his wife's dead because he didn't fix the damn window before he left the house. He even says
He was leaving to go get stuff to fix the window.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You have to imagine him at like 80 years old living up on the top of a mountain in a town and he's going down to the grocery store and they're all like, that's the guy who killed his son. And didn't just wait 5 minutes for the other people to come save him.
Yeah, I have a feeling that the show is going to be taking place at the same time as the movie. And it's going to be everything else that was happening in
like
the town.
The same town?
Yeah, I think this is a single incident that happened in 2007, for example.
Yeah.
And this is just going to be everything that's not in that convenience store. We're probably going to see like what the military was doing to
that would be really interesting. Well, I don't know. I mean, it kind of takes away.
Yeah.
I just didn't really, to me, it wasn't like a missing element of it because they were like, they were messing with like interdimensional portals and whatever. And I was like, well, that's all I need to know. I don't need to see like them building the machines and shit going wrong. Cause like you've seen that in movies, like you've seen that portal travel and you see it in Star Trek all the time.
Yeah.
So it just.
Well, some people say they shouldn't have even said anything, like not even give you a hint that the military was involved or anything, that this is just something that happened.
Is that in the book? The military?
I think so. Yeah. If there's like telepathy or anything, you know, Stephen King is all over that shit.
Yeah. Well, no, like is that like telepathy, like interdimensional
or
travel?
Teleportation.
So telephones. Yeah. Teleportation.
It's all the same thing.
Yeah, any telesales, so, telemarketers.
I'm going to watch that. I don't know if we have Spike. I'll find a way to see it, though.
We'll find a way.
Yeah.
Love will find a way. Where's that from?
Finds a way. Can you believe that they hired the Shermanator for anything after American Pie? You know who the Shermanator is?
Who was he in this?
He was the kid that gets taken by the tentacle at the very beginning.
Norm, the baggy boy?
Yeah, that calls him a pussy and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I was glad to see him die.
You don't remember the Shermanator from American Pie?
Well, now that you say it, I remember who he is, but I don't know. I didn't know, like, by name. Like, I remember him in American Pie now, but I was like, Shermanator?
Yeah.
He's just always going to look like that, isn't he?
I know.
Is he ever... I mean, he looks a little different now, but...
Probably was watching American Pie at the premiere, and he was like, motherfucker, I'm never going to be in a movie again.
No, totally. Like, you have to think of whoever else has, really. I mean, Jason Biggs was in, like, a season or two of Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, he got out unscathed. You know, Shermanator.
Yeah.
He's got no hope.
Same with the Stifler. Or, it's not the Stifler, it's
I played the Stifler.
And Stifler's mom, well, she's always been famous, so she never faced any of it. But yeah, he was in this. I don't know what it was about Ollie, but I think he was meant to be like this really puny kind of character who comes into his own and like builds courage. But
he was kind of always courageous.
No, he wasn't.
Ollie?
No, because like his manager comes up to him and is like, you've been drinking again, Ollie. And you can tell that he's probably in the past just been like...
I don't remember that line at all. When does he say that?
So it's when they just came back and Norm was killed in the back and they're like, this just happened back there. And the store manager is like, you've all been drinking these beers again, because he did have a beer. Like, because they just saw someone get murdered.
But they weren't like, Ollie, you know, this is your second strike. Because you came to work.
Yeah, no, but
wasted.
He was just like, I don't want to write you up for this or whatever. And I just got the impression that Ollie is, you know, just kind of a Herman who works at the grocery store. And and when he died, I was just kind of like, oh, I wasn't like, Ollie.
I was like, Ollie, I think he's the best part.
You do?
You can tell that when Stephen King wrote it, he didn't write it for someone who looks like that to play him. Because
who did you think he...
Just some regular looking guy. But Toby Huss is an interesting looking person.
Oh, yeah.
But when you look at the character, he's not really like, ooh, I'm a fucking idiot because I'm funny looking and stuff. He's like a really talented guy who's really good at shooting. He's got like medals for shooting.
Well, he plays
stuff.
Fucking Dobby in Harry Potter. So that's amazing.
He played
Alfred
Hitchcock.
Not the actual like Dobby character, he's the voice.
I like Toby Huss a lot. Or
Toby
Jones. I like Toby Jones a lot.
There were a lot of people, like William Sadler, like character Jim, basically like the dumb fucking auto mechanic or whatever.
Yeah.
When the old lady's like, I had you and your sister in my class. And she was like, bunch of like fucking losers you were or whatever.
Yeah. How old do you think that lady was? Because he's pretty old in this movie too.
I don't know. That was so weird. But she's 87 in real life. That's crazy. And she was in she was in Misery as well. So again, there's other actors who've worked on Stephen King books or with Frank Darabont, but he was just like awful. Like the moment that David woke up from a nap, she's like corralled everyone in the store to follow her. And he's like, yes, Jesus. Yeah. And I was just like, are you kidding me? You were just trying to like get away from her and like figure out how to kill her almost.
I was hoping that they would have showed him get killed because he is such a villain in this.
I know.
He's like a little Starscream.
So fucked up about this movie though, is that at the end he wanted all of those people to like drive past on a truck and be like, we're okay.
Yeah.
You know?
That would have been just extra salt in the wound.
Yeah. You know, I wonder if I were in that situation and if I weren't the lady who took a bunch of pills and you weren't falling in kerosene, would you be like a sheeple and like go and follow someone just because they're, you know, you're stuck in this grocery store, you don't want to leave because you've seen people's torsos come back,
right?
Or not their torsos, their legs,
the other part, the
other,
the non-torso,
the lower half of their body,
everything
come back.
But the torso.
Yeah. And would you just go with her because maybe you wouldn't be sacrificed? And
yeah, I would imagine like 75% of those people are like, let's just, you know, clap our hands and repeat what she's saying just so that she doesn't make them eat
that gives
us
them
whatever.
So much, like, that's just so indicative of how bullies are made and how people get into power is people are just afraid of them. They're afraid of the things that they could do. Like, someone who's running our country could potentially be that way and, you know, intimidate others to follow along with them in another world, not the one we live in. But I think about that. I'm like, am I a strong enough person? And I think I kind of think I would be the one who's like, I'm going to get the fuck out of here. I don't want anything to do with you people. And so I'm going. But that would be if, like, I were with you. You know what I mean? Like, if you and I were there, like, I would feel a strength. Or if I were there with my child, I would feel like I have to get out of here. Like, I have to make this work. And it's a matter of time before they turn on me. But if I were by myself and I were there, what would I do? I certainly would not be there stabbing people. Like, the butcher is like, burr, burr, burr. Like, he's just stabbing people and everything. And so is Jim. And it's just insane.
And she is a hell of a bully in this, because at the end they're like, we're trying to leave, and she's like, oh yeah, well, I'm gonna drink some fucking milk, and then we want the boy and we
and
want
the whore
blood. it's all you, everybody kill them. It's like, we're just trying to leave.
Yeah, like, we're going. And she's like, no, we need someone to sacrifice. And that's the, like, thing is, like, if I were one of those other people, you'd probably be like, yeah, we need to sacrifice those people because she's gonna sacrifice us otherwise.
Quick, but hit her in the back of the head.
Yeah, that's the thing is, why do you give those types of people power? You know what I mean? And it's because that bug landed on her and didn't kill her. And so everyone was like,
oh my God, Marcia Gay.
Marcia Gay is hardening. So I don't know what kind of a person I would be. I guess it would depend on the circumstance, but I certainly would not be murdering other people. And maybe if I stood in silence and allowed it, I would be.
Especially in small town Maine.
Yeah.
You know, if this was in, like, L.A., people wouldn't last 5 minutes in a convenience store.
Oh, hell no.
Everybody,
if you were at the Crenshaw Mall, absolutely not. I'm really excited to see the TV show when it comes out. And I didn't know Spike TV was running that. Isn't Spike TV like, yeah, we're guys and we're jerking off and we're having fun?
I think they're trying to move away from that.
Yeah. But that
but
was
I
their
remember
thing.
That. It was weird. I could have sworn I read that Spike, the channel, was going to be rebranded as the Paramount channel. But then they were like, oh, and here's a new logo for Spike. And so I was like, well,
what's the logo look like?
Yeah, they got, like, the P and the I kind of are diagonal with each other. I don't know.
Like, it's an erect penis?
It's just like some typography stuff.
Oh, okay.
There's no real logo to it.
Interesting. Yeah, I've always thought of Spike TV as like, yeah, guys, we're playing video games, we're drinking beer.
Yeah. That's what it used to be. And then they were like, oh, wait, now we just look like a bunch of douchebags.
Yeah, it was like the Lifetime Network, but for men.
Yeah, so now I think they're trying to rebrand as, like, kind of a more MTV type of thing. Because
that's not good either.
Because this Miss TV show looks like something that would be on MTV, like the Scream TV show.
They should do like a FX or something. Go
they
that
should.
Direction, or AMC.
They should. All these basic cable and HBO shows, it makes all these other shows just look really stupid.
Yeah.
Because they can't even say shit on them or something.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. Can't show tits.
Mm-hmm.
Name me some tits in a show.
That's right.
Even just a padded bra, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
Or no bra and just show the nips that are hard.
Do you know what the best scene in this movie is?
Is this like what your favorite scene is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
and maybe it's your favorite scene too? The pharmacy scene?
That's not my favorite.
I would say
but
that's the
best. But that's a good
scene. That's
scene.
Like, that's the...
With all the little spiders.
Yeah, that's the horror movie, haunted house
scene
in this movie.
Oh yeah, that's fucking crazy. And then the old lady with the aerosol can and a lighter. Yeah, that's... Mm-hmm. Crazy. We used to do that when we had bonfires in high
so
school.
I love
it. Was
that.
A terrible idea because it says not to do it.
And you know why this movie is really awesome and why it really works as a horror movie? It's like the opposite problem that I have with Transformers movies, where the biggest problem I have in those Transformers movies is something will happen and then you could just leave it at that, but then somebody's just got to be like, but there, I got hemorrhoids or something.
Oh, yeah. Or Bumblebee will pee on your feet.
Pee on your feet.
Happened there, saying pee and piss.
And so I always think that movies can be made bad by adding, not subtracting. I think the less you do, the less opportunity there is to do something stupid. In another movie that didn't take itself as seriously, after that old lady would have burned it, someone would have been like, oh, look at that old lady burning her that stuff. Or she would have been like, you're toast, young man.
Yeah. You're toast, young man. The guy who fell in the the kerosene or the lighter spider. Oh, I thought she meant the guy who lit himself on fire.
Well, she could say that too. But there's no like one-liners in this movie at all.
Ollie has a couple.
Does he?
I don't know. They're not like it. He's just like...
After he shoots Mrs. Carmody, Tom Jane says, thank you, Ollie. that's kind of like the only line in this movie.
Yeah, he says another thing or two, but I can't remember what it is. My favorite part of this movie would really have to be that ending. I mean, and maybe it's because the first time I saw this was on Thanksgiving. So it was like family, love, turkey, and you know, whatever else. And then I go and see this movie thinking it's just going to be an awesome horror movie. And then I left and everyone was like, well, see you at work tomorrow. You know, it was just like, wow, I can't believe that they had that kind of an ending. And they put it out on Thanksgiving, which was just
strange.
Even...
They put this out in November.
Yeah, November 21st. It was on Thanksgiving or the day before, like maybe a Wednesday. But I think it came out on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, they must have still been putting out Saw movies at this time. And so they couldn't put it out in October because that would have just been a death sentence.
Yeah, but it was just, well... Would have been interesting. Yeah. It's like a trap. It's like, you either play the mist or you dig into your spleen and do this. Yeah, I really think it's the ending. It's just one of those endings that always sticks with me because I love movies that aren't afraid to go there.
Yeah.
And to do something that shocks people. I mean, there are some exceptions, you know, like Cannibal Holocaust. I've seen that one time and that's the only time I'll have ever watched that movie. But this to me just had the perfect balance of being a movie that you can watch when you're like a teenager and you're getting into horror films. And then you see that ending and you're just like, Jesus, it doesn't always have to end with like, we got away and we're fine, because that's not reality. People die and things happen and we open dimensions to other worlds and we don't always survive that.
Do you know what the original ending in the book was?
No, what was it?
They drive into the mist.
Well, they kind of did.
Yeah.
They just didn't kill everybody. But I mean, overall, I'd give this movie a 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I'd give it a 5 out of 5.
You would, yeah.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's a really good movie. It's suspense, it's drama, it's a thriller. I mean, it's sci-fi.
B-movie. It's a B movie, kind of schlocky.
Yeah, little bit of that. I'm just impressed with the budget they had, the amount of time they shot this in, the impact that it made as a movie. I mean, that's a really awesome movie. That's really well done. That's good directing and good production management as well.
Yeah, and I don't think The Walking Dead would exist if this movie didn't happen.
No.
For better or for worse. You know?
Yeah. I think that this, I mean, it did trigger all of that. Yeah, I don't even know what's going on in The Walking Dead now. I feel like I haven't watched the last 2 seasons.
Yeah, I haven't either. I don't think a lot of people have. It's kind of running out of steam.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. Frank Darabont, after he got ousted from the show, he started another show called L.A. Noir or something. It was some 1940s, type of show. And I think Tom Jane was in it.
Oh, really?
And so was John Bernthal, who played Shane, the partner. So like right as he died, Frank Darabont was like, all right, you don't have a job now, so come work for mine.
Oh, that's funny.
So then that show didn't do too well.
Yeah.
And it got canceled. And then Frank Darabont sued AMC.
He was like, I'm out of money.
Well, I think he was like, you know, I could sue these guys, but I want to keep a good relationship going. So I'm going to just work on this other show. When that didn't work out, he's like, fuck these guys so much, I could still be working on this show.
Yeah, no, totally.
So I'm suing them.
That is so screwed up. It's just like the politics of Hollywood, right? You know what I mean? Like, and that's what's so difficult, I think, for directors that do TV shows, is that they really treat them as very replaceable. In Hollywood, they replace directors too, right? Like if they don't agree with the creative vision or they're not delivering, they're going over budget. I mean, hopefully everyone's heard Dan Aykroyd's recent statement about the director of the new Ghostbusters film. It's a lot easier in television because you've already like done maybe 10 episodes of a show. You're able to still get like maybe the same DP, ADs and everything. And because they're not as expensive as the director is, because the director just gets, you know, more popular and needs more money to come back.
Yeah.
But if you get everyone else in place and you already have like a reference point of a season of it to go back to, then you can replicate that. But also, to your point, the show is running out of steam. Like, I feel like the last couple seasons I've watched, I've just been like, where are we going? Like this, yeah. This is going on forever. Like these people in reality would be dead by now, mm-hmm. or something would have happened to Rick at this point.
Yeah.
Is Rick still alive in the show? Of course yeah. he is. Yeah. I think it's really weird. I don't know. Maybe it's because it doesn't have Frank Darabont, but fantastic film, The Mist. I would encourage everyone to first watch it in color because that's how it came out mm-hmm. and then watch it in black and white.
Yeah. I think the black and white is an acquired taste for sure. I don't think anybody, yeah. I don't think everyone's going to like it.
Yeah. Maybe if we found more of like a gray, it's like a happy medium, yeah, maybe. Then we'd be good.
I think every movie should be black and white.
Yeah, I don't.
I think every movie should have the option of watching it in black yeah. and white.
That would be pretty cool. I mean, certain movies, some movies you don't need it, like a Goofy movie in black yeah. and white.
But I mean, they've been doing that a lot. Mad Max Fury Road was re-released as the black and chrome edition.
Oh, that's
and then,
cool.
And then Logan, the new Wolverine movie, they just did a special showing called Logan Noir that's all black and white.
That's awesome.
And you know, some movies, you're just like, fuck yeah, I'll see that in black and white. That means this is like a real movie.
I guess. I don't know. That's interesting. So was this on your personal Twitter that you did another poll?
Yes.
Basically, we were going to do, and we may still do, depending on the poll results. We started off watching Transformers Dark of the Moon. I always call it Rise of the Moon, which is Rise of the Fallen or something. But we watched it the other night, and I fell asleep like yeah. halfway through because it was just like
halfway through, meaning 2 hours into it.
Yeah, it was it was like watching the Titanic five times or right. something. I just remember the next day we were like, should we keep watching it or should we do it? Or I don't know, because the new Transformers is coming out.
Yeah,
I just cannot stand those movies.
Yeah, they're also an acquired taste.
Yeah, you have to really like Shia LaBeouf and think he's not a fucking weirdo. Yeah. You have to like tits and ass and Megan Fox and
mm-hmm. or not
Victoria's Secret model who's dating yeah. Leonardo DiCaprio back in the day. I really like that you put a bullet to the head in the yeah. poll, and that is leading by 54%.
Well, that was a no-brainer.
I actually haven't even gone in and voted yet, but so by the time that we air this, this will have already finished. But yeah. You know, it was kind of between, it was like, do we watch this or do we go watch Transformers? And we were like, let's watch The Mist. Right, absolutely. Yeah. 500%. Yeah.
The Transformers show is probably going to be a couple of days later than it usually comes out.
But yeah.
We will have that done. Right now, it's looking like Revenge of the Fallen.
So if it's a bullet to the head, are we going to kill ourselves on the
that's
podcast?
No, that's just a joke. We all knew that was going to win because nobody really likes
right. So
movies.
Does that mean that if a bullet to the head wins, we won't do a Transformers
means
podcast?
We'll be doing that Sylvester Stallone movie, Bullet to the Head, that came out recently.
That's amazing. As long as we're not doing a Transformers
movie. No, we're going to do whatever the second best is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, we got to. Transformers are really popular.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to talk about with them, especially on a podcast like this.
I mean, sure. Okay. I'm just glad we got to watch The Mist before I head out to Disneyland here for the old yeah. wedding anniversary. So thank you all for voting for a bullet to the head. I was hoping that I was in the clear, but apparently we didn't clearly stipulate the rules to this poll. I think we'll do another poll in like a month, and I am going to do a poll this time, but it'll be on your account because I still only have porn people that follow me okay. on Laura Megaplex. Maybe people think that I'm like sexy or something. My picture of my 7-year-old self holding up a Tweety Bird sweatshirt.
No, that's just the name of the game with social, is to porn bot it up and try and get follows.
Twitter's got to get on that at some point. They got.
I mean, Instagram does it too.
Well, yeah, but they monitor it a lot better.
Yeah.
So check out The Mist, and then the TV show's coming out in the month on Spike.
Yeah.
And otherwise...
I think we should end this with a song.
Oh.
Thank you.